welcome to the South Road Boys.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Are you?
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Away, 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 away. I don't know why I've gone there.
No, but I tell you what, we almost had a harmony going on there.
It kind of.
The roadies would disagree, but.
It just made things sound just summery and.
Yeah.
Very Australian.
Hot Girl Summer. I don't think that's an Australian song.
I think it was.
You sure?
Yeah, pretty well. Daryl Braithwaite or something saying that, didn't he?
Daryl Braithwaite.
Wasn't Johnny Farnham. Might have been Ice House.
Ice House. Because there was a juxtaposition.
Yeah,
hot,
definitely.
Hot, hot from Ice House.
I was James Rowan.
James, yeah. That was you going through his reckless phase. Mr. Barnes.
Mr. Mather.
I've been remiss.
Not you.
I have.
No.
In sharing with you something that has given me delight.
Why wouldn't you share that?
Over 22 years.
You know that when I see you happy, it brings me joy. Why would you hide that from me?
So I occasionally, and probably more occasionally, probably more frequently than
you masturbate to a kidney porn, don't you?
Who does?
Yeah.
I love them little spikes.
I tell you what, you can actually find it at spikexxx.com.au.
And just waiting for all those roadies who go to spikexxx.com. Shame on you, roadies.
You never know.
Shame on you. Troy's looking it up.
I'm going to see whether the site's still there.
It's still there. Register as your favourites. No, I read a website called TheOnion.com. Are you familiar with The Onion?
Look, I must admit, I haven't thought about The Onion for a long, long time.
Oh, right.
But I am familiar with it, yes.
Okay. So it is a...
It's essentially, in an Aussie term, a piss take.
It's a parody website. Yeah. It's a parody news.
Yeah, but it was website. Done so well in many situations that people thought it was real.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to take you back to an article that was first published on January 20, 1999.
So I wish you'd had the music there. I want to take you back. You said,
we'll see what happens in post.
Bro. Right. We never do
but
that.
But we both know that's not going to happen.
Anyway,
Wineswell.
Peel it back for me.
This is published January 20, 1999. So just to let you know, who do you think was in – here we go. Here's one for you. Who was in power in the White House at that time?
In the White House in 1999? Yeah. It would have been a Bush, would it? Or was it a Clinton?
It was a Clinton.
There you go.
Yes. Bill. Bill Clinton.
He liked –
cigars?
He likes cigars. Loved a good address as well.
Did not have relations with that woman.
No, of course he didn't.
Had it with that woman, and occasionally that man, but not that woman.
I mean, if he said it, he didn't do it.
Of course.
Yeah.
He presented the shaggy defense.
Exactly. You know, I am so disappointed that Monica lied.
Yeah.
So disappointed.
And then he presented the Simpson defense. I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. You can't prove anything. Not the O.J. Simpson, I didn't kill my wife.
What if he's still saying he didn't do it?
I think the semen-stained dress that Monica Lewinsky produced really did make his story not as believable. But then I think it came down to what was defined as sex.
True.
I mean, okay, so you've got the bases, right? First base, second base, third base, fourth base.
You got protein spillage.
So first base for me, first base.
Oh, here we go.
First base kissing.
Mm-hmm.
You agree? First base kissing?
It is. I mean, if you want to get technical though,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if we wanted to actually refresh the bases, right?
Okay, let's refresh the bases.
Let's do a base refresh. Fantastic. Always wanted to do this. Right.
Listen up, world.
Like other people call it, first base.
First base. In a sport that we
I consider would be holding hands.
Oh, really?
It's contact. I mean, because it's not very often you would kiss someone before you touch them. It's like trying to eat a sandwich before you pick it up.
Doesn't everyone do that?
Like, you know, your face on the plate and just trying to, like, lick it into your mouth, and it gets weird.
Sure, but I would
pick it up before you eat it.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying you're trying to eat your date, but mostly, I mean, all
there are websites dedicated to that.
True, but when we were younger,
yeah.
I think sometimes it looked like that.
So what's second base for you then?
Well, second base, okay, let's really break it. Okay, no.
So for me,
first base has gone to second base already, right? First base is conversation.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
So breaking it down. First base conversation.
Is this how you're redefining it?
Second base, holding hands. Third base, kissing.
You are a fuckwit. First base is kissing. Second base is hand stuff. Like, you know, hands.
Hand stuff.
Hands. Look, is that hand, like, under like, the, hand under the top or, you know.
Oh, right. You know. Sorry.
Hand play.
Yeah, sorry. Not like soap or something.
No.
not like.
And then third base for me is mouth stuff.
Okay, right. And so then. Not the mouth stuff at first base. Different mouth stuff.
Yeah, you know. Okay. BJs and stuff.
Right, yep.
And then fourth base or home run would be in a heterosexual world. All right. So. Penetration sex.
Right, okay.
Now, that's not saying that that's for everyone, that that's where they're, because obviously there are some people who don't believe that penetration is just sex. Sex can be all different things. But for me, so it goes kissing, hand stuff, mouth stuff, penetration. But you want to redefine it to be first basis.
Break it down.
Conversation. Fucking, I'm getting to first base with so many women at the moment.
This is fucking, the thing,
if
see,
I went back to
you're
my
a Casanova.
If I went back to my younger self and said, "Hey, you're getting to first base quite a lot in your 40s.
You're doing really, really well."
Exactly.
Yeah, but then you got to have another base now. It's like, you know, the bra unclip.
You
that's
don't understand
base.
Baseball, then, do you? You don't have fifth base.
There's going to be about 20 bases by the time I finish this list.
This it'll is Call fully, of Duty all over again.
A fully documented working notebook for teenage boys and girls.
You're going to need a Gantt chart. Four bases. That's it.
You get a medal for each base too. So you're like, it's awesome. You can hang them up. You can carry them around with you. Put them around your neck. Whatever else. I'll
tell you what, as a teenage boy, I always thought I would may have got a participation certificate. That's it.
You know, and if you turn around, bend over. That's moon base.
I don't think your redefining bases is going to make it any easier to navigate the world of the other gender for those sexually adventurous teens out there who may be listening. And if you are, you've got a lot to be answering
maybe,
for.
Maybe I'm not the man for that.
Probably not.
Tell you what, though. I've got to first base a lot.
It's your job to talk to people. It's not first base when you have a conversation with a woman.
You know what? You said before that for some people, sex is penetration.
Yes, true.
For others, it isn't.
Okay, so for what's me, your fourth base?
For me, first base is conversation. For others, it isn't. That's okay.
Okay, so what's your second base then?
Second base was holding hands.
Physical contact.
Yep. Third base, kissing. Fourth base, undress. Takes effort.
But that's it. You have no – that's the end. There are only four bases.
No, there's got to be more than four bases.
There are not. It's a diamond.
But it's not actually baseball. We're talking
but
about
sex.
It's a
sex. Euphemism.
Fucking Jesus.
No, he's got nothing to do with it.
Okay. So we're gonna change the whole thing then. We're not talking first base or anything. We'll call them chess moves.
64 moves.
And hopefully by the end of it, you get a checkmate.
Condoms. Apparently brought to you by Checkmate or Dulux. Anyway.
Righto. Okay, stick to your fucking bases. Fine. It's a problem with you. You don't like fucking reinvention and change.
President Clinton. I can't believe we got there. Okay, so this is an article. I just go
you
back
got
to
Lewinsky'd.
It. I did. I go back to it all the time.
Right.
Clinton deploys very special forces to Iraq. Now, for those
roadies. This is an Onion article you're saying.
This is an Onion article.
So it is a parody.
Now, for those roadies who aren't aware of this because they're too bloody young, there was a war in Iraq. This was the first one. Yes, when, you know, Saddam Hussein was around and all that kind of stuff.
I'd like to point out once again, this is not new. This is a parody. We don't like a War of the Worlds thing. You know where people come in after it started when the guy said, "This is only a documented series. This is not real. Please do not be afraid."
Correct.
And then suddenly it's, people jumping out of buildings, committing suicide. So I thought the fucking aliens are attacking.
And all I can see is Tom Cruise running around.
This is just an old parody for anything on the other.
Washington, D.C., preparing for another possible showdown with Iraq. I don't know why he chose that voice. Yeah,
you've actually gone back to War of the Worlds.
President Clinton deployed more than 1,500 very special U.S. forces to the Persian Gulf region.
Very special.
Very special.
Yep.
Forces to the Persian Gulf region on Tuesday. Okay. Clinton said the objective of the mission, dubbed Operation Good Job, was twofold. To keep pressure on Saddam Hussein, to permit the return of UN weapons inspectors, and to provide America's very special forces with the positive, rewarding, esteem-building experience. With Operation Good Job, we send the message loud and clear to Saddam Hussein that his open defiance of the United Nations international law will not be tolerated, Clinton said. We will also send the equally important message to our own troops that what's important is not whether or not you defeat the enemy, but that you try your best and have fun.
Sounds so American.
Added Clinton. Hooray, U.S. troops. At the Pentagon press conference, Secretary of Defense William Cohen expressed confidence in the mission will be successful. I have full faith that our troops will do a terrific job in Iraq, Cohen said. But even if they make a few mistakes, we'll still be very, very proud of them. Cohen stressed the safety of America's special forces is one of paramount importance. In an effort to reduce the risk of anyone getting hurt, the defense secretary says he has urged all U.S. troops to tie their shoelaces nice and tight. Whether or not you're in a combat situation, there's almost always going to be some running involved, Cohen said. And the last thing we want is for any of our soldiers to trip and fall. Morale is said to be high among the members of the very special forces who were flown Monday from Shepherd Air Force Base to Saudi Arabia in the squadron of specially modified C-130 short planes.
Okay, right.
Upon arriving, the troops were given a thorough mission debrief by General James Herzog and a butterscotch pudding snack. Each soldier was then issued an AR-15 rifle, three clips of NATO 7.62mm rounds, and a combat helmet with Velcro safety strap, and a fanny pack with their name written on it in black magic marker. We're going to win the war, said Private Richie Arnemaker of Harris Grove MD, eating his snack cup with a Caprice juice pack. I love to clap and sing along to the music.
Fucking yo.
Colonel Gene Deering said that if we take out the communications tower in Alberich, we can have a pizza party. Private Josh Penske of Dallas said, pizza party, pizza party, pizza party. You're pretty, Penske added. Will you marry me? General Thomas Merritt, who was in charge of overseeing the operation, good job, said the troops were thoroughly prepared for what lied ahead. We've gone over our maneuvers and protocol in detail, and we have marked down all the special targets in our special notebooks, Merritt said. The soldiers know that they're not to wander off from the group. They know that to use inside voices when in enemy territory, and they know they have to go to the bathroom prior to all ground assaults. This group is ready. Merritt went on to note that despite the very special nature of their mission, strict military discipline will be maintained, including mandatory quiet room timeouts for any soldiers beginning to act out or displaying inappropriate behavior in combat situations. According to Secretary Madeleine Albright, the length of the mission depends on the performance of the troops. Hopefully all will go well and our special forces will be back home within a week, Albright said. But if there are any setbacks, such as a soldier has lost their keys or is having trouble staying on task or forgetting their pills, it could take longer. Regardless of the outcome on the field of battle, Albright said Americans' forces will emerge as big winners. The soldiers will have a chance to strike a blow for global democracy and make lots of new friends in the process. So how can we not win, said Albright asked, noting that every soldier who participated in Operation Great Job will receive a shiny new medal, and this is truly going to be a very special invasion. And that was it.
Have they essentially just got the rules of a childcare facility and just applied it over to an article regarding war?
Possibly. I will show you I'm going to show you a photo now of the C-130 short plane, the transporter.
Okay, the short plane. Oh, my God. Okay, you're right.
It's basically a short bus turned into a short plane. And I do have, I think...
I got to say, because I know there's a lot of people that weren't a fan of the war in America.
No.
But that's still a brave thing to even put out there in America.
Yes. Now, I have a photo here of Sergeant Tommy Dobler, who loves baseball, roller skating, and leads a group of special forces in maneuvers near the Iraq-Kuwait border.
Oh, that's terrible.
It is. For those who want to find the article and read it for yourself, it really is a cack go.
I haven't thought of the article for ages.
It's just so good. All you need to do is type into the Google machine, The Onion, and then Very Special Forces, and it'll bring you up to that website. It'll bring you up that webpage.
So what's one we've got in Australia these days? It's a few of the guys out of DGEN or whatever that I think these days they do one occasionally. It's not that, but it's a different group. But they do parody ones as well, and some of theirs have been phenomenal. They've been mistaken as well. Where suddenly you see this report and people go, you realise it's a parody, don't you? You're ranting about something that isn't real.
Yeah, or they'll dress up as international diplomats and... Because I think that happened at a G1 summit or something, where they dressed up as a Middle Eastern diplomat and hired a long stretch limousine with fake flags on the front.
Yeah, really?
Got past about three or four checkpoints before someone went, fucking hang on.
If you act like you belong.
Exactly. Just see you there. Anyway, so that's something that's been rolling around for 22 years that I've read last week to show someone because it just makes me laugh. I mean, I'm losing my voice, but it just makes me laugh.
There you go. The Onion. Spirit from the past.
Yes. What's going on in your world, man? Well,
speaking of spirits, I purposefully did that.
Yes.
I love it when I use good English.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really took a while to work that one out.
It actually did. That was I'm getting over the vids, so.
Yeah, fair enough.
So COVID brain.
COVID head.
COVID head. But
oh, man, he's such a COVID head.
I see, we live in this world now where we don't really believe anything we see anymore. There's got to be trickery.
Oh, right?
So yes. I look at it from a point. I started thinking about it. I thought, you know what? If you were a ghost, he's been around for probably died maybe, I don't know, 40, 50 years ago, right? And I would assume that because you don't just see shit being thrown around in rooms and that everywhere. You don't just see things floating around. So I'm going to assume it takes a long time for a ghost to be able to possibly do that kind of stuff.
Oh,
bit of training.
Oh, something, sure.
You know, you might have died 50 years ago. You've been trying all this fucking time to move shit, and finally now you've worked it out. You go, fuck, after 5 decades, I can actually do it. And then you've gone, well, I live in this house where I died years ago. It's been sold by the family 30 years ago. There's an unemployed guy here named Barry playing Call of Duty.
And masturbating furiously. He doesn't give a
shit. He's smoking fucking joints all the time. He won't even see anything.
Exactly.
Wasting my time. You know what? So I'm going to set myself up. I've got to do it in front of a heap of people. I'm going to make this a moment.
Sure.
So this ghost, we'll call him Gavin.
Gavin. Gavin the ghost.
Yes, sir. He's gone, you know, what can I do? What can I do to make this momentous? Because I need people to see this is real.
Because
why? People
to
see me. Because I want to be noticed. I've been invisible all this time. But
and
I'm
this
still
is like
here.
Purgatory.
Well, in a way, but
caught
it's like,
between worlds.
Well, yeah, you are. But, I mean, maybe that he's meant to be here, but it's like he's just he's frustrated because no one knows he's here. You can't see him because he's a ghost show.
Time out, though.
Yeah?
I reckon it's going to take longer.
Because, oh, could do it.
Well, because if Gavin has been here for 50 years and he's stuck in this sort of between the worlds,
yeah,
you know, okay, let's assume that there is a good place and a bad place and there's
somewhere else we go.
Then there's the not either or and you're sort of,
yep.
We've got, and Australia is a relatively young country.
True.
So you've got
a couple
over
hundred
two,
years, really. Well, for the white man.
Yeah. But well, let's just say that the First Nations had this all sorted. They had it all sorted. So they've got ceremonies for when someone passes that will take them to whichever place that their spiritual beliefs take them.
Carry them through.
So they're not hanging around because they've been fucking around as the First Nation of everywhere.
Yep.
They've got this sussed. It's only the newcomers, new kids on the block.
Yeah. The apprentices.
Yeah. that need to work this shit out. So we've got 200 years of all these souls just trying to fucking move shit, saying, oh, I'm here, I'm here. I reckon it's going to take more than 50 years for Gavin to be able to move something.
Right. Let's say it's taken a century. So I know you're still saying it's probably not enough, but we'll use that as a template.
Why not?
Right. So
he's advanced for his age.
So Gav.
Gav.
Don't know if it'd still be Gavin back then. Was Gavin around 100 years ago?
Gareth.
Gareth. We'll go with Gareth. Yeah, we'll change Gareth the ghost.
Gareth the ghost.
He's finally worked out after a century, like, fuck, like, smooth that book off that bookshelf.
He's seen a lot, though, in that century, hasn't he?
Yes, but he's also seen everyone around that's that's lost the
will to
live. I suppose, not the will to live. No, that's lost the, because he sees normal people wandering around.
Yeah.
But they've lost that belief. It's like the I want to believe thing is gone.
Because
people are just, everything's just kind of thrown away now. Like, you know, like you watch a video, for instance, about something, people go, ah, it's doctored. You know, that's not real.
It's a fake.
Or it's a magician. It's like, it's deep, trickery.
Exactly. Back in the dark age.
Or you've got deep fakes and all that kind of thing.
When he was around, you'd burn that woman at a stake.
Exactly.
Because she was a fucking witch.
So it's like, I need to do something that people, they'll look at and say, you know what? This shit has to, there's no other way around. It's got to be real.
For reals.
And you know what?
What?
Gareth's a cricket fan.
Is he now?
He is. Loves cricket.
How could you not?
Loved it right from when he was a kid.
Perfect.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
Yeah.
So he said, you know what? Where's a big group of people at the moment? And he's gone, fuck me. Big Bash is going well, isn't it?
Isn't it?
So he's gone, you know what?
Oh, I saw this.
You know what? I'm going to do something in front of probably 20,000 people live.
And then a worldwide televised audience.
Audience as well. So they can understand that maybe shit can be tricked.
And this was in the first week of the Big Bash?
Yeah, so but the live group, they're there.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do, I've got this great plan.
Mm.
I'm going to go out onto the pitch. No one will be able to see me. I'm a ghost. And then old mate's going to go and hit it. The ball's going to go past the stump. I'm going to wait for a ball to miss the stumps by a mile. And I'm just going to knock the stump off.
With my knob.
It's not even windy.
With his knob.
Yeah, with his knob. Exactly. Guess why wouldn't you?
If you're going to do it. If
you've 100 years.
To knock something over.
Yep. You're going to dick it.
Yeah.
So he said, fine. I'm going to wait. The right ball's come up.
Mm.
He's waited a few overs. Right ball wasn't there.
No.
This right ball's coming. It's going to miss the stumps by over a foot.
But the batter swings.
Batter swings. He stepped up. He's not right near the stumps.
Yep.
He's missed it by a mile. The ball misses it by a foot. Suddenly, the bar knocks off. Guy's called out.
Mm.
And everyone's like, oh, he's obviously maybe put his foot on the stumps or something. That's fine. You understand that. But you know what? Then they look at the replay. And this is when Gareth comes into his own.
Oh, he's a genius.
It's brilliant. Because you can't see him. You can't see his dick.
No.
You can't see it. But all you see is the bat misses the stumps. The player's not near the stumps. The ball misses the stumps by a foot. And then the bar just knocks off. There is nothing that could have possibly happened in this moment other than a ghost's dick has knocked the bar off. And all the commentators just call it spooky.
Well.
And then they just move on because you know what? I just fell off. And poor fucking Gareth has waited a century for this. And it's irreputable. It's fucking right there. You fucking nothing touches it. The bar comes off.
Mm.
But no one in this day and age looks at it and goes, oh, that's fuck, that's weird. No one.
That's ghost knob-like.
No one at all other than me, Joe.
Do you know how I explained it?
# Gareth lives.
Do you know how I explained it in my head?
Tell me. It looks very cool, though.
It does look very cool.
So fucking confusing.
Look. Obviously, there's electronics in the bales these days.
There is.
So there would be required to have a power source.
Yes.
To be able to illuminate
there
said
is some
lights.
Kind of connector, whether it's a magnetic connections, like whether it's, I don't know how they do it all, but
yeah.
And it's not like there's a shitload of wires between the bales and the stumps.
No, there's
but
not.
It's connective.
It's enough to be able to form a circuit.
Yeah.
And once that circuit is complete, the lights go off. And once the circuit is broken, the lights illuminate.
Yeah.
So what happens? It could be a little electric shock. Just jolted it off.
See, this is the thing. This is a problem. You're one of the problem, Jay.
I'm the problem. I'm Gareth's problem.
You are, because you're just coming up with reasons why it isn't real. No one's ever thought, you know what? Is this possibly?
Is this real or is this just fantasy?
The sweat and tears
of Gareth's not
of a ghost that's been for about a century for fucking decades, trying to find a way to prove and say, you know what? We're real. We're here. And he does it, and we just bypass it as though it's nothing. For me personally, I'm disgusted. I just think that I think that we should show more care, more appreciation, and a little bit more wonder for what's out in the world. Because you can't tell me it's a coincidence that this was done in front of thousands of people. This could have happened anywhere. Could happen in the backyard right now. Ghost could go up, knock the bale off with his knob.
No one cares.
No one cares. This ghost, possible ghost.
Possible ghost. I think Gareth needs...
Went to all that effort in front of so many people. But there's no other thing that could have caused it. And we just go...
electromagnetic thing that I talked about.
So there you go.
I think if Gareth is really serious about it, he needs to do it in the middle of a Boxing Day test where it's just wooden bales. So my story becomes moot.
True.
Where there is no wind.
Yep.
No possibility of nighttime condensation causing an electromagnetic zzz or whatever. Yep.
No, I completely agree.
Or just simply grab the ball and let it hover in midair.
Well, that's perfect. So I was going to say the same thing. What he wanted to do, I believe, was go to the test, the Boxing Day test.
Yes.
In front of actually pretty much 100,000 people at the MCG.
Yep.
One of the biggest crowds on the planet of a live event, sporting event. And actually go up and hover the bale.
Yeah.
Just there. Just have the bale hover. So not even
3 inches
off,
above.
Just hover the bale.
Yeah.
The problem is they don't have Ghost for Agri Joe. They don't have that. So he can't guarantee the bale will hold because he hasn't worked out how to do it with his hands yet. The only thing he can work out how to knock things is with his knob.
But he could bend over, spread cheeks and take the ball up the butt.
I don't think that'd work either though. Because it'll probably go straight through him.
Yeah.
It's the knob.
Like a dose of the salts.
The knob is the thing.
Yeah, it's all in the knob.
It's a magic penis. But he can't guarantee he can keep the penis up because it's a lot of pressure in 100,000 people.
Yeah, I
tell you what. To keep it up.
When people are looking, I tell you, that is pressure.
Yeah. And also, and if the bale kind of knocks off and it stands there on the knob, right?
Yeah.
And then it just flops over and falls. People can see it fell to the ground. And if there's a little pause.
Yeah.
Or a little knob.
Knob, yeah.
He doesn't have paws. He's a person. No,
because that'd be weird.
Yeah. Even then, people go, oh, it's a glitch.
Yeah, something's wrong with the Matrix.
What you really need, he really needs to have Ghost Viagra balance it on there like a little trapeze. Yeah. Going, and then walk up the pitch. So that
it's sitting on the other end.
The bale, yeah. Yes. Oh, that would be brilliant. I guess.
As we see this bale just wobbling up the other end.
Do you think, though, bullshit aside, because I don't know if people realise, but I was only joking about that. I don't think it was actually a ghost. I think it was weird, but.
Really?
Yeah. But bullshit aside, though.
Yeah.
Do you find it's probably a little bit. Annoying isn't the right word. Disappointing isn't quite right either. We'll go with lackluster.
Yes.
For kids these days.
Yeah.
That everything we kind of had, like when we were younger, for instance, there was a chance that if you saw like something flying across the sky, it might have been an alien.
Yeah.
Or if something moved, it might be a ghost or that kind of stuff. But now because everything is explained so much and there's so many reasons for things and there's so much film footage that can do anything now and all the rest of it, do you find that we've kind of ripped the possible imagination of the Ooga Booga and all the weird and wonderful stuff away from kids now? Or do kids still have the imagination and it doesn't matter anyway? Because, I mean, they'll believe in fucking Santa, so they're obviously fuckwits.
I put this to you, Mr. Barnes. Being a male in his late 40s, you are not experiencing the wonder of the fallen bale as you would had you been a sub 10, 12-year-old boy. I reckon there's sub 10, 12-year-old boys and girls out there who are still fucking talking about it in the playground going, did you fucking see shit?
This is a different juxtaposition.
I reckon they are lost in wonder. And I think if you go back and you look at the one day international between Australia and New Zealand where Rodney Marsh was in the wicketkeeper. Mm-hmm. I was going to call him a goalkeeper, but he's not. He's a wicketkeeper. Rodney Marsh was there, And
he wouldn't have been a very good goalkeeper. He wouldn't have moved a long way. No. I mean, back in his prime, he could move.
Yeah,
but I don't think he could run and jump.
No, no. So you had Rod Marsh there. And Sir Richard Hadley was actually in bat. And you may not be aware of this, but Sir Richard and Rodney Marsh, great mates. Fucking great mates.
Mm-hmm.
They used to get on it like you would not believe. Bit of shenanigans happens. Rodney Marsh actually did the exact same thing at a one-day international. But what he'd done is he'd put a bit of dental floss around the bios.
I thought you were going to say what happened and knocked it with his knob.
He was thinking about it, but then he realised Kerry Packer was on the do not play button for the wide world of sports, and he didn't think it'd go to air. So he's dental flossed it and off. Unfortunately for Sir Richard, he actually walked. There was no third umpire, and he got given out. New Zealand lost the one day by about 4 runs.
Really? Interesting. I don't, strange enough, I don't recall that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, go back to the footage.
There you go.
Rodney Marsh.
I mean, I've heard of like the Watergate. I've never heard of the Colgate.
Yeah, the Colgate. Oh, this is gonna go stupider. Roadies, on that, it has been an absolute pleasure. I am Joe.
I am Gareth.
And we are the South Road Boys.
We certainly are.